Welcome, 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 fans, to this week's edition of The Lockdown featuring T Cove and the Ball Hawk.
Oh!
Petty Hawk in the darkness with us.
In the dark, man.
In the dark. Special guest this week, former Cavalier standout, Daquan Romero. We call him Day Day. Mama call him Day Day. I'm going to call him Day Day. What's good, fam?
What's good, man? Yeah, the name Dede done stuck with me since elementary school, high school, college, even professionally.
Ah, that's dope.
They ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, it's all good.
Top flight security of the world, Craig.
Of the world, Craig.
Love it. Well, man, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, man. Looking forward to chopping it up with you a little bit. Hey, we just gonna jump right in. We're going to take it all the way back to Feebles High School in the where? What area is that, Hawk?
That's 75. That's 75.
Yeah, 757.
Yeah.
That Tidewater Water.
Man, we should just call this show The Lockdown featuring 757 because, you know, we'd have had the crew. We'd have had the athletes on this show from the 75. Yeah. I feel like, 90%?
Yeah. It's probably about 90%.
Talent speak for itself, though. It come from where it come from.
That's for sure.
No doubt. So look, now when I look back, we'll jump into your junior year. ESPN All Rise, all junior team, 30 sacks, man, for real?
Yeah, 30 sacks, man.
30 sacks?
I still got the record in the state of Virginia, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm like, who does that? You had 11 in the playoffs, your junior season.
Hey, man, I was just having fun. Out there, man. One thing that I love to do in high school is definitely get after the quarterback. That was like my bread and butter.
Wow. Did y'all everybody blitz thought it was fast,
but anybody know? Well, I played defensive end, so.
Okay.
None of that really affected me. My job was just to get to the ball.
Right.
See ball, get ball. I really didn't learn coverages until I got to college. But the thing was, man, everybody just thought I was quick off the ball because I had a quick first step. But nobody realized how strong I was. Mm-hmm. So speed to bull was my bread and butter. That 1 foot in the ground and pushing back into the quarterback. I remember, I think, Great Bridge. I had like 4 sacks in the game.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
It was a good time.
How'd your squad finish up that after 30 sacks?
Man, in high school, I'm proud to say I've only lost one game my entire career.
Wow.
And that was my freshman season in the semifinals to Stonebridge. And then we came back my sophomore year and beat them, I think, 28-8 or something like that. I had a strip sack the first play of the game.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
So y'all were state champ then?
Yeah. Only time I didn't win it was my first year. State champion, sophomore, junior, and senior year. Never lost. Got close to it, never lost.
Who were teammates of note that you had?
I mean, I played with Maurice Hampton. He went to Maryland. Harun Brown went to Maryland. Dennis Mathis was really good running back for us, 1,000-yard rusher. Sean Austin, 1,000-yard rusher, went to West Virginia. Dominic Davenport, who honestly had like – this dude was benching 455 in high school. He could have went to Florida State to play linebacker. Yeah, he could have played – but he ended up going to West Virginia, played with Taj Boy, who was my quarterback, the reason – why I scored all them touchdowns.
Taj Boy,
look, there it is right there. You see how he tried to wait? He tried to wait and name Taj. I was like, what are you going to say, Taj?
Taj, because to me, Taj is like a regular dude. Like this, like how I'm talking to y'all, I could talk to Taj like that.
Yeah.
So like when I say Taj's name, it really don't really roll off my tongue like it will for some people. It's just like, that's how my boy, you know what I mean? But
and for our fans, Taj Boyd is former Clemson great quarterback.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And Reed Evans, I think he broke Allen Iverson's interception record, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who else? Paul Morant, Kobe, Levante Battle, of course. He played with me at UVA.
Right.
Man, I'm missing Caleb Taylor, my best friend. He went with me to UVA.
Wow.
Yeah, man, it's a laundry list of people, honestly. I remember, Battle's class had, 14, 15 people with scholarships or something like that.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So, like, Yeah, Phoebus was like that deal. If not like Hawks era when Hampton ran the PD. When I was in school, Phoebus ran the PD.
Yeah, and y'all elevated it though. I just listen to that, bro. Y'all elevated what we did. So at Hampton, like he said, it was similar to that when I was in high school, but I can't write off that many names going to school, cause I could write off like my senior year, yeah. It was like three of us that went to school. And there wasn't a lot of D1 guys even on those teams in this totality. Like Muffin, Armando Curry, he won four straight state championships and he probably couldn't name that many guys from all four of those teams. So Phoebus,
dude right there.
Yeah, so Phoebus basically, and I love to talk about this, like they saw Bill D and saw what we did in that program and they elevated it because they went and got them a Ronald Curry and Taj Boyd. They went and got them a Jared and Donnie Green and Day-Day. And then he followed the lineage of the DB. So,
True.
And Womack and Elon, like, so they got their own, like people talk about Hampton.
Phillip Brown.
Like Phoebus, I love Phillip Brown, I love what Phoebus did, man. They elevated what we did in the sense of the transition to college and the type of offers that they were getting and the many guys that were going to college. So as much as folks talk trash, I keep it 100 and be like, yo, I'm glad they elevated because they really had the recruiters coming in from the big schools checking us out, that area out.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
I'll never forget. Like Tosh had Ohio State coming. He had Oregon coming, Tennessee. Like schools I never even thought of. I remember the only real big, the only offer that I was excited about for myself is when Butch Davis came to Phoebus himself to give me the offer. I was like, yo, like you the head coach, you didn't coach Miami. Back when I was a Miami fan, because, you know, the Bad Boys, I was just in love with them. And I was like, yo, you come in to see me and little old Phoebus, you know, we don't got no windows in school. We don't got no
Y'all got dividers.
Yeah, we ain't got no doors. We got dividers. We don't got walls. We got dividers. Yep. So, you know, I'm like, you coming all the way this way to see me? That was that was like real special for me, man. And I give love to Tosh just because we're bringing that momentum in. And then, you know, God bless myself and thank God just because of my talent and being notarized.
Yeah. You referenced a little bit earlier about how you got all them touchdowns. Are you referencing your sophomore year when you were first team All-State tight end?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I remember sophomore year, I scored every game besides one. And that was when we beat Denby 77-0, I think it was. And that was the only game in my entire career that my mom didn't go to. So I blamed her. But it wasn't her fault that she didn't come because her car broke down on the way. But I was still frustrated. And I kind of like, ma, I didn't score. And we scored 77 points.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, you put up
every game.
You put up 77 on somebody and you didn't score. That's the only game.
I scored every game other than that. I'm like, ma, this is it's kind of your fault here. But, you know, I understand.
Did you play at your junior? You played tight end junior and senior year too, or just?
Yeah, I played. I played tight end from freshman year all the way to my senior year. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Were you not
I just kind of fell back.
Okay. Yeah.
No,
yeah. That was my.
After Tosh left, I still was productive, but not as productive, just because. Okay. I mean, anybody that knows Phoebus, we're like a running school. Only reason we transitioned to a throwing school is because Tosh had came. So he wanted to, you know, show off his arm and stuff like that. So we started putting in different plays, packages, just for him to be able to throw. But my bread and butter was 27 power pass. They used to split me out sometimes. Yeah. Never like that corner route was my thing. But they used to split me out of receiver. I like to say I had the best hands at Phoebus. Me and Reed used to go back and forth. Honestly, I used to say I got the best hands at UVA. I used to tell Kane and Severn that, like, bro, my hands are better than yours. No question.
Talk you just spicy, man.
That's a statement. That's a statement because Kane was nice with you.
Nah, because the difference between me and a lot of receivers, and I used to say this, is I don't care where the ball is. My job is to go get it. I'm not one of those pretty receivers that's just going, it's too low. I'm going to just look at it on the ground as we see. It's too high. I ain't going to try to jump and go get it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to go get it. I got to make the quarterback look good. It don't matter if it's one hand, two hands. got to jump over somebody. I don't want that. Hey, right. I'm trying to make ESPN too.
I feel that.
That was just my philosophy, but.
Because at Peebles, man, they ran power out. They had three backs all in the I formation.
Yeah. Ooh.
It was.
Come down here. It was Heisha Heisha. They coming down here. And you know what's coming.
Yeah.
That sound like my high school fam. For real. Yeah. We ran that L set, bro. Ooh.
Yeah. Mm. It was Sean. It was a problem. Sean was like 220, 230 in high school, but could run. You had Baby D, who was like 250, benching 455. Squatting like 500, and then I think you had Chaz, who was benching like 400. Oh no, he was benching like maybe 355. Like our weight room at Phoebus was no joke. Coach Day, he didn't play about the weight room. You had to come, you had to be there. If you didn't come, you didn't play. Or it was just like weight room was like how speed and agility is today. That's how the weight room was for us back then. Like ain't no getting around it.
Right. Right.
And it's one way in, one way out to his high school too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
The weight room was caged in the basketball gym with like a little gate that was always down unless it was the summertime. So ain't no way.
That ain't a pretty high school, bro.
Nah.
It's like a former penitentiary or something like that. That like it was like a fool's tale, like it's an old
jail. I think that's just a myth.
But it's one way in, one way out. One road in, like you go straight, you go into Phoebus. Ain't no, you better turn to somebody's driveway and you turn because you gonna have to go there.
Wow, yeah,
it's houses like that surround it, but you come in, you make that right on Ireland. Yeah. That's all Phoebus, the whole loop, and then you can go out there.
Wow,
and the front look like the back. You don't know where you at.
Yeah, the front look like the back. The only difference is you got the field, you got the football field on one side and the softball field on the other side. Yeah, that's the only difference.
Yeah, that sound in prison like.
Hey man, hey look, we went to summer school there one year, boy. I'm telling you. Hey, you better have your mind right.
Wow.
Phoebus is a wild place. It was, man.
He being modest. Hey, it was trill.
I'm being modest. This is a wild place. You definitely had to have your shit in order when you go there. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, right. Bro. You better make sure you got some allies when you go up in that building.
Yeah. But if you don't, you're not gonna last for real.
Mm-mm. Wow.
Like you couldn't play football at Phoebus and be soft. You just couldn't. Mm-mm. Like, nope. Nah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that would explain three state championships in a row too there.
Oh yeah. No question. Bill D was the head, and then the players took a lot of accountability into it too. Like sometimes we didn't even need the coaches to run practice just because of how high standards were. Mm-hmm. And you know, it made me a better player. For one, when I was in eighth grade, I don't know if it's a violation or not, but I used to practice with the varsity, like after the JV season.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, you good. And, you good. Did that because Ronald did that with us.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So when I was when I was in eighth grade after our football season, which we went undefeated in too, Coach Johnson. After the season was over, me and Caleb was like the only two that stayed to practice with the varsity, mm-hmm. and so I would come from Eaton Middle School to Phoebus High School just to practice, lift weights. And I ain't got no game on Saturday, but I'm just, you know, helping them get better. And a lot of them took me under their wings, like a dude named Landon Givers, who I looked up to when I was at Phoebus. He wore number 7 before me, passed it down. And that's why I wore 7 throughout high school. But he played tight end and defensive end. And I swear I wanted to be just like this dude, but. You know, he went to Middle Tennessee, but yeah, man,
that number seven was the shit in high school for the record.
Oh yeah, no question. Yeah, Mike.
Oh, you were 7, Cole?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
okay.
Yes, sir.
I'm 7. Yeah. All
so
4 years.
It's funny. Like 7 and 5 and 2 have always kind of been in the mix with me. You know, it was 7 in high school. It was 5 in college. It was 25 with Tampa, and it was 27 with the Seahawks. So it's always seven and a whole five in there somewhere.
That's what's up. Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah, I know. So 2-time defensive player of the year, 19 sacks your senior year, dude. I mean, bro, you were all first team, any damn first team that was to be had in the 7-5, you was on that joint. So
then they press all stars.
Yeah, for real. They rated you as a 3-star.
How?
I could tell you, honestly, they didn't know. They knew I wasn't a defensive end in college.
Okay.
But I never had any film. I never played linebacker in high school at all. I mean, they had me drop it to the flats a little bit, but there was like even, I mean, you know, we don't like Tech around here, but the reason Tech didn't even offer me is because they said, "What are we gonna play you? Like, we don't know what you can do at linebacker. You don't want to play offense."
They had Corey Moore before.
Hey,
you would think.
I don't know. Yeah, I was like, well, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I can rush.
Right.
I know what I can do. Whatever. All
right,
cool.
Right.
But so I was honestly kind of confused about it. But Stars wasn't really that big yet, as they are now. So I really didn't look too much into it. But you know, they had like Clifton that was like a 4-5 star, Trey Nicholson, 4-5 star. That was the only thing, like, because of my competitive spirit, I was like, ain't no way I'm a 3-star. But y'all got it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like what you said with the accolades, I'm ESPN dual athlete, being a tight end and defensive player. And I'm like, how am I on this list? But I'm a 3-star on y'all list. Mm-hmm. And I was never good at camps either. Right. I am not a camp guy. I'm not a camp guy at all. I tell people I might not run the fastest 40, but I know how to get to that football. That's all.
Yeah.
Get somebody the ball.
Yeah. That's all I know how to do. Now, if you put a 40-yard dash out there and tell me this is how I got to get the quarterback, I might not be your best guy. But if it's through the white lines, 11 on 11, don't count me out.
Yeah, please. No doubt. So what were some of the schools that were recruiting you?
I had Chapel Hill, North Carolina, which I first committed to. Maryland, West Virginia. Oh, man, it's a funny story. Michigan State, actually, defensive coordinator came to the school, or the defensive line coach had came to the school. And this is before I knew, like, 3-4. Like, you got to understand, for me, I learned the, like, defense once I got to UVA. I didn't know anything about coverages. I didn't know anything about really, like, fronts. I just had a high football IQ. Like, I knew down the distance and stuff like that, what play was coming from watching Any Given Sunday. If the pressure's on their fingers, it's a run. If they, you know what I mean? Like, I just had a high football IQ, like, in that sense. But as far as, like, packages, coverages, looking back, I was really, like, a 3-4 outside linebacker because I rushed the passer. Mm-hmm. I can drop to the flats. And I can play. I know how to play the tackle and the tight end. But – long story short, Michigan State came and he asked me, he was like, look, you know, I came here because of you, but I don't want to waste my time. Now tell me if, you know, you'd be interested in us. And I told him, I said, honestly, coach, no disrespect, but Michigan State's a little bit too far, but just because I want my mom to come to every game and I never seen him after that again. But they was running a 3-4 defense at the time. I was like, mom, you got to make it work. Lady to death. But this is my ticket. Like, looking back, but I mean, it is what it is. I landed where I did, and I think, you know, I had a good career there too as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you say you committed to Carolina first?
Yeah, I committed to Carolina. Butch Davis, man, that was, like I said earlier, that was just a different experience for me to have a head coach actually come. Mm-hmm. So this is how I got the Carolina offer, because that's a story too. My friend Kobe Goodwin, who went to ODU, had the North Carolina Coach Brown's card. And I had called him one day. And I was like, hey, my, you know, I'm Daquan, I go to Phoebus, got your card from such and such. I'm interested in the school. I didn't hear back from him. He didn't really know much about me yet either. I didn't hear back from him. The next time I heard back from him was when Butch Davis came to the school and handed me the offer letter. Like, I reached out to them, was like, I'm interested. They came back to me with an offer letter. the head coach. I ain't never talked to Butch Davis a day of my life. I'm like, what? And Hog, you know, like where we from, that's like leaps and bounds. So that's like, yo,
yeah,
that's a lot of love, a lot of respect. And it's all about showing love to me. Like out of all the schools that I did have offers from, that was the most genuine because the head coach actually came. Because I was taught letters, all that stuff don't really mean nothing. All them letters that you get, all that is interest.
It's the ones media guys.
Yeah, all that that's all it is, you know, glitz. It's like glitz and glamour. Until you get that official offer letter, until you speak to that head coach and he tell you, hey, we want you, that's what's real. And when he did that, I was like, yeah, I got to go with y'all. But they got in that trouble, you know, and I was like, and I was like, oh, you know, the coaches is leaving. I don't know who's going to be coming in. So Coach London, he continued to recruit me. And I, you know, he's from the area as well, and he was real genuine with that. So I was like, and honestly, a lot of my friends was going there too. So I think we had like the top 25, one of the top 25 recruiting class when I came. I was like, and these dudes I'm playing with, dudes I'm going to camps with, different stuff like that. So I was like, yeah, UVA, no brainer. Man, my best friend went there too. So I was like, no brainer.
Yeah. Right. Well, we glad you came, fam.
Yeah, we are.
Me too. Me too.
No doubt. No doubt. So when you got there, you know, it was something we asked guys a lot. You know, when you first up on the scene and you look around, you're like, okay, damn, do I belong? I'm a little like an ass, or these jokers are strong, they big, they fast. You know, where was it a thing where you stepped on the yard like, yo, I'm here, I'm ready to get this work? Or you were like, you know, or did you have eyes like saucers when you first roll on a set?
Nah, honestly, I was overly confident when I got there. I was too confident, honestly, because like I said, I never played linebacker before. And I was just going in there like, yo, I never played linebacker before outside of rec league, but I know how to play the game. See ball, get ball. I ain't care about, you know, oh, yeah, O'Day, you had Big Mo, you had Mahota, you had Luke, you had, we had like one of the top offensive line in the nation.
Yeah.
You know, Austin Pastore. I'm like, yo, I don't care nothing about this. I play football and I know where I come from, so I ain't scared of nothing. I actually told Leroy, I was like, bro, I'm going to take your spot. I told Leroy this. I told Roy, I'm going to take his spot. But that was just the immature me because, you know, I didn't know nothing about coverages. I didn't know nothing about drops. I didn't know nothing about reads. I just knew how to play football. So I definitely wasn't wide-eyed or anything about that. I got to get big. I got to get big. I think my freshman year, that was a regret of mine too. My freshman year, I went from 207 to 230 in my freshman year. I put on way too much weight, way too soon, way too fast.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. So
you was eating a lot of Bodos, huh?
Bodos and a lot of protein shakes. I would drink like 3 protein shakes a day.
Yeah, boy. Yeah. Hey, was the first time you had to do one-on-ones that was a linebacker?
Oh man, I was all out of whack. I didn't know what to read, what to look at. I got juked so many times. I mean, luckily I'm light on my feet, but you know, like when you're going against somebody like Perry, somebody like KP, you can't really just sit there and wait on them. You kind of got to engage them at the line and then take them wherever they need to go. So, but it was fun when I did one-on-ones on pass rush, though. I will say that.
I was just going to ask about covering because I knew rushing you was in your element.
Yeah, that was fun. But as far as like pass rushing, I was so out of whack. and even with like, so with Coach, Coach Brown, we did spot drops. We did like spot drops. And with Coach Tenuta, we did more so man to zone. So basically, like, you know, we attack and then we go into our coverages. It really just turns into man at the end of the day. But
It's almost like a matchup.
Yeah. That's kind of when I got better on like man to man coverages. It's instead of like waiting for or spot dropping. Just kind of like meeting them at the line, being attached to the hip, and then you know, it's different than NFL. I'm my hands gonna be on you for 5 yards.
Yeah, I'm gonna get all those five.
Yeah, I'm gonna get all those fives.
And we usually ask people like their first condition and practice and stuff. But also coming from my area, our area, coming from Phoebus High School, how was the first day of classes coming from your high school? With now you got doors and stuff and honestly, real walls.
Honestly, coming to UVA was just different in itself for me. Like you said, how come from where we at? I mean, we the minority, and you know what I'm saying? So it was just like eye-opening for me in that aspect. I was just like, I mean, we the majority, not the minority, excuse me.
Yeah.
But so that for me was just like eye-opening in itself, and then having to catch the bus to go to class, like it was just real different. It was real different. I was like, luckily my mom was, you know, she put me in like advanced classes and stuff like that in high school. So I had some teachers that definitely cared about my education and didn't just allow me just to, you know, push me through. Like they made me do what I had to do. Miss Wilder, Mrs. D. So that kind of helped me because, you know, UVA is a reading and writing school. So that definitely kind of helped me along the path. But being able to have a door, not hearing somebody screaming right next to you, people not fighting over here. I mean,
somebody throwing paper definitely over the divider into your classroom.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Teachers having to walk out of class just to tell somebody to keep it down. No substitutes. So, you know. Yeah, it was definitely an experience. But I loved it, man.
NWR. Did y'all take NWR y'all freshman year?
I think I did. Introductory class?
NWR 100.
Yes. Oh, my God.
I forgot all about all those stuff. I'm like,
I remember they signed me up in that class. Man, I cussed Dave Coryell out, the dude that was our academic advisor. I was like, what the hell you got me up in this damn beginner-ass?
Yo, I thought I was remedial or something. I was like, yo, what the hell is this?
I was like,
yeah, everything was like starting over.
If you don't get me the hell up out of this class. I said, yeah, I ain't your average Uncle Barry Allen.
Hey, I said, I ain't your boy. What's your boy from? He talked about the program, the linebacker suit says Adidas. I thought I was him or something.
Oh man, I swear. I'm like, nah, fam. We gotta do something different. This well below standard. You took me, yo. You took me back. That hog, damn.
I'm telling you, dog. I just popped in my head like, yo, I'm gonna. Bro, they didn't. It was still taking NWR when they first got there. That first semester.
I don't think I did. I came mid-year, so you know I kind of.
That's right. You came. Like, do you think it helped you enrolling in January?
Yeah, I do. Nice. I definitely do because it gave me like a little. I got opportunity to hang out. So that honestly coming mid-year helped me out with a lot of different things. For one, you get to see like the beginning and the end of two chapters. So you get to see the second semester of the first year. So where they kind of have like a grasp on things. So they helped me kind of, you know, molded me, you know, to kind of like understand what I was doing. So I'm not just flustered and just going into it with no idea with like 12 or 13 different teammates. So, and then you get to see the athletes that are training for pro day. So it's like the beginning of the end. You know what I mean? Like you see them coming in, you see them doing the extra work, you see them showing love to the people, you see them, you know, they've been gone, you know, training with their agents and stuff like that. And then they coming back. Like I remember Chris Cook came back. I was like, man, it's Chris Cook. You know, he's 6'2", 220 corner, can jump out the gym and can run and fly. I'm like, damn, you know what I mean? This is a dude. Like this is what college is about. You know what I mean? This is exactly why I'm coming to college, get my education one, but ultimately to go to the league. And he was a proven factor that coming back, had the bends, you know what I mean? It's like, damn, this is exactly why I'm here. So you kind of, like I said, you kind of get to see both sides of it coming mid-year. And then you get an early understanding on the playbook and then you get to do spring ball and stuff like that. So it definitely helped me develop faster, especially not knowing the position.
Okay.
So I got a leg up to learn linebacker, but it definitely
point.
Yeah. And you were
it was a damn thing for me.
Were you did you start second on the depth chart that year or who were you behind?
I was behind. I think I was like, it was like second and third because Henry was there and he kind of could play like the mic and he could play the wheel.
Okay. But I was behind. Yeah, I remember Henry talking about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Henry, like I was behind Henry. So it's kind of like third because it was Roy, me, or Henry, me. But Henry ultimately played the mic, but he, like I said, he can move interchangeably because mm-hmm. that's what happened second year.
Because we moved him in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tanuda moved him in the middle. And right. But second year, it was Roy, Greer, and then it was Henry.
Yep. Greer. I remember the tackling machine.
Yeah, and then that's when Coach Brown was still there. Tanuda wasn't even there yet. Yeah, it was Roy. Greer,
nah, you were Coach Henry. Reed. Coach Reed was your first couple years.
Yeah, Coach Reed was my first coach. I loved his defense too. Once I finally understood it. It was so simple, but I just made it complex because I didn't know the position. It's just gap football. You got a gap.
Yeah.
Take care of your gap. That's it. Take care of your gap. You ain't got to worry about nothing else. If the ball go out there, it's really not your fault. But, I mean, be a ball player.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, it was actually, yeah, I started off playing Will. And then they polished me up to play Sam, too, because AT was leaving.
Okay.
So, it was Roy, Greer, Henry, and then I was behind Henry and Roy. Like I could play Sam and Will. And then second year, Henry started and I was the backup. And then something happened and then I got the starting role and I never looked back.
Yeah, you played a lot. Yeah, we know what happened.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
He told us last week. Yeah. I mean, 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, yeah. So it's ironic. Hey. Like it's funny. We followed you up, and I'm glad. You see how your homies look out for you? Like, yeah, I started, so I don't know what happened, but we know.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I ain't look back.
That's the great way. Hey, yo, that's love right there. That's how you answer. Right. Like, that ain't my position to say what happened. That's that man's.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So, I mean, you you played in 10 games that season. Y'all went to the Chick-fil-A Bowl. You got some work in that. How was it? I mean, you're a first year and you get to go to a bowl game. How dope was that?
Man, that was actually fun. That was a real fun year because, I mean, we almost got to go to ACC Championship for one. Just had to beat Tech. So that was, I mean, just that season was amazing, honestly, because I traveled until I hurt my hamstring, and that's when we beat Maryland at Maryland. But I played when we played Miami, and I got a funny story about that too. I was there when we beat Florida State at Florida State. Mm. I played. Matter of fact, did we play Penn State my first year or second year? I think we played Penn State my first year. I can't remember. Did we beat Penn State?
Yeah. I think that was your second year.
Yeah, I knew we y'all beat them.
Yeah. So I'll go back to first year. I was there when Cam Johnson got that strip sack against Indiana.
Again.
You know, like it was just the leaders that we had on that team was different because we had different styles. You had some that led by, you know, speaking, you had some led by talking. And, you know, you got Chase Minifield, who's a student of the game, who don't got a TV in his room, but got a film. All he do is watch film. It was just an amazing experience, man.
Y'all had some dogs.
They used to talk about that all the time. Like, yo, Chase don't even got a TV. All he do is watch film. Like, I was like, well, okay, well, do your thing, brother. But, yeah, we definitely had some dogs, man. And we had an older squad, too. So we had, you know, Conrath. We had some people that kind of been through the ringer.
But you almost took a detour, but we're gonna go back to that detour. What's the story about Miami,
man? So, you know, I used to talk trash because I had, you know, I felt like I could rush the passer, and so it was my chance. Coach Brown looked at me and said, "Yo, go in for this one play," but I never like. this is my first time like really rushing the passer, like lined up on the edge, rushing the passer in college. And man, I got hemmed up so bad.
I got you at the club.
Nah, he didn't get me out the club. I gave him a fight. But I won't get him past the line. Let's just say that. I won't get him past the line. Oh my god. Man, he took me out the next play. I don't think I played no more that game besides special team. all he did was look at me too when I came off the field. And I think Henry was right there laugh. Man, me and Henry still laugh about that story to this day. He's like, man, you was talking all that trash while we was watching film during the week. You got your opportunity, got your ass hemmed up. I said, man, hey.
I'm saying that too, yo.
Boy was stronger than what he was, what I thought he was. And it's Miami, you know, they got good feet. They quick off the ball. Yeah. I tried to do the little speed the ball. He said, no, sir. No, sir.
He was like, thank you.
Right.
Yeah. I ain't trying to go around him nothing. I tried to do the speed the ball, try to push him into the quarterback. Matter of fact, I think they scored on that play. I was like, man, look what I did.
No way.
Yes. I think it was like a 60-yard bomb.
Oh, like, no way.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. But we won that game, though.
Get that ass out of there. I thought you said he could rush the passer. No, he said he could rush the passer.
No, for real. That's exactly what happened. I couldn't do nothing but laugh. I was like, man, hey, dude, I guess this is college football.
Right, this right. Lesson learned. Word. Okay, so then you roll into your second year. You appeared in all 12 games, 4 starts.
Yeah.
Finished with 44 tackles that year. How was that season for you? Record-wise, it wasn't the best year for the team. But you know, what were your assessments for going from your first year to your second year and how you played?
I had a better understanding of the game as far as like just football knowledge, football IQ, understanding the defense, understanding the system. I was more comfortable with juggling with school and football at the same time. Mm-hmm. But second year, I had a totally different approach, man. Like my second year during summer, during summer school, I slept, you know, they gave us money and stuff to like, you know, have a place to stay. I slept on my friend's floor for a large majority of the summer, just so I can like humble myself and have like a different hunger and have a different type of passion when I was playing. Like I slept in the treehouse. I slept on the floor in the living room. I was like, man, I don't need no apartment. I don't need no bed. I'm gonna sleep right here. I'm gonna treat this like I ain't got nothing and I got everything to prove. I got everything to gain. I was gonna work out all the time, class, work out, watch film, like really spend time with like Roy Asar, who was super athletic. You know, he did like different training drills, like rushing the passer, ladder, all that. Like, I just had a different mentality. Like, I just really treated my second year, beginning of my second year, like I didn't have shit. Like, mm-hmm. I had everything to gain, everything to prove, and nothing to lose. So,
you slept in the treehouse, like the Tuttle treehouse?
No, the treehouse off Apple Tree. It was like, I think Tim, David, Big Mo, Battle, okay. Renfro. Yeah. It was like
when you said treehouse. I was thinking about when I was in school. I think they had knocked that down by then. It was called the treehouse. Yeah. Well, it was like with Pizza Hut, and they had a convenience store at the bottom, right across the street from Tuttle.
Yeah, nah, it's not that one. This one.
When you said treehouse, I was like, yo, who are you talking to get that hooked up?
No, it's off Apple Tree Road, so we just called it the treehouse. Okay.
All right. That.
Yeah. But it had like 4 rooms on both sides. It was like a duplex.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I slept on the floor like the whole time. Just blanket and pillow. That was it.
Hey. Yeah. Man, whole back was all tight.
Body there.
Yeah.
All body. Yeah, man. You definitely your body can handle that at that age, but
Yeah. I had to train my mind, but my thing was just like I gotta get out of this comfort. You know, having a bed or having just being comfortable. Like, Like you don't like you got everything that you fucking want, honestly. Mm-hmm. It was like it's time to humble yourself and kind of like, you know what I mean, reprogram your mind. Like, bro, you came here because one, you wanted to get a degree, which honestly speaking, at that time, that was more so for my mother, but you said we're keeping it real. Like my whole thing was going to the league. And if I was sitting on a bench with something I'd never experienced before, it was like, what the fuck am I doing here? I'm wasting my time, you know what I mean? Right. So I had to really reprogram my mind and really focus up. And I felt like that was the best way to do it. I didn't have shit. Right. I just had a floor, a pillow, and David's covers. And the pillow was from the couch.
You was a Buddhist monk by night.
Hey, I had to do what I had to do.
Yeah.
It worked, though. Wow.
That, no doubt. But no, you, I mean, that mindset is special, bro. That's a lot of respect.
Yeah, the mentality of kind of what you're speaking of, though, man, you know, what am I doing over here on the bench? That I felt that twice. I felt that my first year at UVA, when I'm standing on the sideline, when I knew I was, you know, probably getting redshirted, even though I'm 10 ass up, you know, on the scout team, tore my hand up. So I, you know, had a surgery. Yeah. So, and we went 3-8 this year, and I'm on the sideline like, seriously? You know, this is bullshit. What do you know? This, I don't even understand this. So that was the first time I experienced it. Was never on the bench again in college. And then my fifth year, my last year in the league, it was like, damn, you know, I remember being inactive and I'm like, what the hell do people do on the, what do you do? you know what I'm saying? It was just like, it was just so foreign to me.
Yeah,
and it ate me up, you know, because it's like I just don't understand this, you know, and it made me hate the game, quite honestly, you know, because it wasn't about the X's and O's. It was about the business side of the game, and it really affected my love of the game. You know, and because like I said, I just want to play ball. Let me just get on the field and do my shit. You know, I want to help us win, and you know, to be losing games, and that made it even worse. You know, so bro, I feel you there. Woo. Yeah. Man, you just took me back. I shake that off real quick.
Yeah, it's a bad feeling because I lost a love for the game too my first year. Because everything I ever did, I was like, I definitely worked, but I was like one of the guys. And I was like, I really never had that feeling where I was like at the bottom of a totem pole.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to UVA, I was like, damn, I'm really at the bottom. I don't know this position. I don't know shit about 4-3, what I got to do on this coverage, what I got to do, tell the cornerback, or, you know, I didn't know shit. I was like, bro, do I really love this shit? But that played a part into my second year, like the summer of my second year. I was like, nah, fuck this. This is what I do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it drove me though, you know, more so, you know, like I said, I wasn't the biggest or the fastest or the strongest, but I just had a mentality, you know, that I knock your ass smooth out. And I took great pride, you know, in that. And just, you know, I love to win. I love to compete. And so, shit, I'm gonna get out here and compete. I'm gonna give you everything I got to try to get this dub. You know, I'm gonna work hard. I'm gonna train hard. And, you know, for me, it was, when in college, I wouldn't think about going to the league. It was just, I wanted to win and I love playing every Saturday. I love playing with my dudes. You know, I love representing the university, you know, representing my family. And, you know, in high school, it was, you know, I was just trying to get school paid for. You know, I was a good student and shit, I just go ball on Friday night and let shit happen, whatever happened. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, yes, sir.
I'm gonna say, you know, Virginia wasn't recruiting me at first. And, you know, I had a couple of small schools and Wake Forest. And then, you know, it was my confidence that got Virginia on board when a coach just came, you know, Coach Wilmer, came to see our starting tailback, who was an absolute beast. And I'm standing in the hall watching film, and he pulls up with his Virginia sweat on. He watching it and said, you know, tell me about this guy. I was like, oh, he's awesome, yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, hey, you need to watch this dude right here too, number seven. And he's like, who was that? I said, that's me. You know, he started laughing and it just kind of rocked from there. But, you know, that was just, it was always that kind of just belief. And then showing up at UVA with Bermuda shorts on, glasses, pink shirt, you know, pink socks, you know, talking trash at 164 pounds. You know, but it was just
tough stepping on campus like he coming from Miami or something.
Right. I'm a country ass dude from North Carolina. I had flavor though.
That's how you know he just watched Scarface.
Yeah, bro. Hey, there it is. There it is. Hey, you know me in that movie, Hawk. You know me.
I know. That's why I gotta remind the fans. Hey, that's all I remember now. Cub loves Scarface now. So it's a method to his madness.
Facts.
So he just got off the boat like Tony did. With Manolo.
No doubt. No doubt. So Lynn, let's transition into, you know, your third year. Coach Reed, you get a new defensive coordinator in John Tenuta. And the fans know that I'm not a fan of his, but you know, we won't even get into that again. I think we didn't hit that about four or five.
I thought you was gonna ease into that.
No, I ain't gonna even ease into it. No. I want a fan, but it's about day-day. It's about day-day. So how was that transition from kind of Jim Reed style to John Tenuta style? Still a 4-3 defense. So how was that for you?
So Reed's defense is more so bend but don't break. And Tenuta's defense is more so attack. Like we're gonna dictate what they can do on offense. They're not gonna dictate what we do on defense. I mean, Tenuta's style was definitely I'm sure you talk about it, like definitely different. But honestly, that's to me, Coach Tenuta was like similar to Bill D. So like I fell in love with Tenuta's coaching style. Like we had even to this day, like we still have a great relationship. But Leah, so like it was easy for me to transition into it. Like I played the Will with him and I also played the Mike too. So he kind of taught me both sides of it. He kind of, you know, I mean, Tenuta loved me. I ain't gonna lie. Like,
for people that don't know, Will is weak side linebacker.
Yeah.
Mike Meadows, Mike Sam is the strong side that go with the strength. So they won't say, hey, y'all didn't clarify that, but go ahead. That ain't my fault.
Yeah, but he liked me because I wouldn't get like rambled by how the way he spoke. Like that didn't affect me. That didn't affect me because I was used to it. Like, I'm not saying Coach D was out here calling you dumbasses or whatever, but I was just used to that. That chaotic coaching style, kind of like flitting your ass if you don't get it right. Like, to me, when coaches did that, that was a sign of like them showing love. Like they're interested.
That's how we
were taught. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like that's the way of them showing their interest in you. It's like, yo, I know you can do this, but you keep fucking up. I gotta do something.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, I think I transitioned real smooth and I started to understand concepts and really how to know what the people in front of me are doing and the people behind me are doing on Tenuta's defense. Like he really made me understand the game. So yeah.
Well, yeah, it does. You know, and I think you have to have a certain kind of mentality to deal with a coach that's kind of in your face and you don't take it personal. Yeah. You know, I mean, I had some coaches like that, you know, that shit don't faze me at all. You know, because I'm about my business, you know what I'm saying? If the coach ain't saying nothing to you, then you should work.
Trouble. You got a lot to worry about.
Yeah, I think that's just my thought process all in all. So you were second on the team, you know, that your third year, 89 tackles, sack and a half. And so, you know, you put in work. So it was you, so the starters that you, it was you, it was Henry, and Who, Max?
Yeah, Max. Yeah, Max, Max is more so like a rush.
Yeah, he was like,
he was like when you got there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what a lot of people, like, we ran a 4-3, but we really ran a 5-2. I used to say that all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, Max ain't doing nothing in this in the second right here. Max is on the line going to get it. Yeah, he might drop to the flats because I think he got an interception. Was that? No, that was my fourth year. But yeah, he really came out in the pit game my third year.
Mm-hmm.
And him and Eli too balled out. But that's when Max like became, Max was in that pit game. Yeah. And that's when we had them to like under 200 total yards defense.
Yeah.
I mean, like total 200 total yards offense.
Yeah, it was like, it was crazy. Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, man. You know, we remember when we talked to Henry about it. You guys, I mean, you guys were 2-10 that season.
Yes.
You know, but it's like, you're like, damn, that defense, though.
That defense is raw.
Y'all just didn't have, y'all had no offense.
Man.
I mean, that it just killed y'all, man. When I look back on that season, it was rough. I mean, it was a couple of blowout joints in there.
It was definitely frustrating.
It had to be.
Yeah.
It had to be, fam.
Was that Oregon? Oregon blew us out. We lost to Ball State that year.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It was
y'all had a number of people. That beat the brakes off y'all that year. So, you know, Oregon 59-10.
Yeah.
It wasn't need even Ball State, that year.
Ball State 48-27.
Yeah.
Clemson 59-10. Carolina 45-14, Miami 45-26. Ooh, damn! Let me stop.
Hold on, was that the year Sammy Watkins?
Which is all bad.
Yes, sir.
When he caught that good on Tim?
The 2-yard line.
Yeah, bro. Yeah,
it took Tim out there in front of Sammy Watkins. I remember that.
Yeah, it took Tim about 2 years to recover from that shit.
Oh my, yeah. It was, and it was on
fire like David.
I remember like it was yesterday.
Yeah, yep. I do too.
I was like, no. When I saw there was 1-on-1, I was like, they just threw Tim ass to the wolves.
Yeah, that was just.
And Tim was like 14 yards deep.
Oh yeah, he was way back, and Sammy ate that shit up quick. Yeah. No. Let me get that.
Yeah, man. Real great. Like
Sammy
back,
was. I was like, oh my god, Sammy just ran way by him.
I was like, what?
Miss Pac-Man.
He was Ricky or something.
Yeah, you know you did. Run, Ricky.
I was like, run, Tim, run.
Oh, damn.
You should have known. It was like third and long.
Yeah, it was a favorable.
They was coming out of the end zone.
Oh, my gosh.
They were just trying to get room for the punt. And they punted it to Sammy Watkins for a touchdown.
It was like on the 2-yard line. Facts.
Yeah.
And he jogged into the end zone.
Cause I think Tim was a freshman, wasn't he?
Forget it.
I think so.
Yeah, but that's a
he's a freshman.
Yeah, I think so.
Get my dog like that.
Yeah.
But you know, Tim they set my boy.
Cause it took him a minute to get over that shit.
He's trying to see what you gonna do
to get over that shit. Yeah.
For real,
no question.
For real.
Tim was hurt.
PTSD.
Tim was
like,
man, he was embarrassed.
Yeah, hell yeah. And I remember saying like, yo, that's messed up.
Man, honestly. We'll get to that in the fourth year.
Like next,
we'll get
next
to that in
topic.
The fourth year.
But, next topic.
That was definitely a frustrating year.
That was a third year frustrating year
because, like I said, that defense we had was so special. Ant leading the nation in interceptions. D line was crazy.
Yeah, it was bananas. Bro.
Me and Henry, Max is holding it down. It's like, but goddamn, can we get a 5-minute break?
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, bro. That was
2 minutes?
Just 2 minutes. Yeah, you ain't asking for long periods of time. Just a couple minutes to put my helmet down.
But you know, I don't really like the bash the offense. That's just not my style. But
no, you ain't bashing him. You just recapping.
You keeping that shit a buck.
Yeah, you just reflecting, bro. That's all. We not this. You know, we love him. I mean, we had our offensive guy from that offense here, and he was just like, "Yeah, we ain't help him none." So, you know,
that's frustrating, boy. But to senior year, just to go there, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And to talk about the offense again, I remember I'll never forget. We was playing Florida State. We had just got 3-0. Oh no, we just forced a fumble.
Mm.
And I think we threw a pick six to the next play.
This is number, David this when they were this was at, in Tallahassee when they were ranked number 2. God.
Yes.
We had just forced a fumble.
Yeah.
And I would never forget one of the players on the sideline after he threw the pick six. I think it was like the following play. No, because KP Rand got fucked up. I remember that. He got fucked up in the hole. And then we threw it to like the flats and well, nobody out there but a Florida State player. And dude on the sideline's like, damn, man. The offense keeps – all they do is fuck us, man. They just keep fucking us. I'm like, I can't even be mad at you right now, but, yo, chill out. I was weak as hell. But that joint was – it was just like – and I'm not saying, like, we were perfect on defense, but it was just a perfect reflection of after my – from my third and fourth year, it was just a perfect reflection of how it went. Like the defense, we did our thing, but we either couldn't score or they couldn't stay on the field. It was just tough. You know what I mean? It was just tough. I'm not saying that we didn't fuck up, because it was definitely games that we messed up and got a whole bunch of points scored on us, but it was frustrating, man. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, but not that year. I mean, do y'all had like a top 25 defense that year, your senior year though, fam. I mean, you know, you lost games to UCLA 20-28, and you already know what 21 points on turnovers.
Yeah, they scored on defense a bunch that game.
Yeah,
UCLA. They
two picks, you know, and they got a pick six and a fumble recovery,
and they scored once on us. They scored like they matter of fact, we turned the ball over and they got in the red zone. And then they scored on us. And that was the only
time they scored on the defense. Like one touchdown. That was just crazy. That was crazy.
We was balling that game too. Yeah. They came in there.
Y'all messed up homeboy draft stock.
Yes.
Yeah. Huntley.
Yeah. I think Henry sacked him. Eli sacked him. I sacked him. Max sacked. Man, we was flying around that game.
Yeah.
We
didn't
have him up.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely,
and then you lost to BYU at BYU 33-41.
Kick off return. Right off the middle.
Yeah.
Who you know kicked the ball in the middle? Punt the ball in the middle of the field.
You lose at Duke 20-13. Lose to Carolina 28-27. Only game that kind of was out of hand was Georgia Tech that year, 35-10. Florida State was what we were just talking about. The final was 34-20. Game was much closer than that.
Yeah.
And then losing at Tech 20-24 that year. I mean, you know, so it was, it was those games, man, were all 50-50 games that could have, that season could have been very different, you know.
That's like
with any offense. Game,
that wasn't Wahi's fault. He wasn't supposed to be on Bucky Hodges, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, y'all had that messed up all game, and it got screwed up right there, and Bucky got loose.
But honestly, we shouldn't even be in that situation. I ain't gonna say his name.
The little push flag.
For the little push. Trying to be extra.
Trash call on Mike Moore.
Little push.
Bro, you said his name. But I even talked to Mike.
Oh, shit. We keeps it a buck.
I tell Mike Moore to this day, I said, bro, I hate you, man. Like, I love you to death, but I hate you, man.
Like, I love Mike, push.
Why? And I seen the, because it was intentional grounding. It was third down, so it would have been like fourth and 60. It would have been like fourth and something crazy.
And they were like, backed up.
Why?
Yeah.
Push him. I said, Mike, yes, you, I'm looking at you. Yes, you did.
Yeah.
I'm like, man.
you did it.
like they're right for making this call. Like, you did it. And I mean, like, that could have changed everything with beating them. I mean, what it should have, could have, but we could have went to the bowl game. First time they didn't go to a bowl game. Like,
it, it was a lot on that game. It was a lot on that game. So, you know, finished up, man. You had a great career, you know, at Virginia. You were very much a leader on that team. You had your imprint. What were your thoughts about going to the league after, you know, finishing that last year, number three on the team in tackles with 86, 8 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks and an interception? What were your thoughts? You're like, I'm ready to go to the next level.
I mean, I thought I was definitely good as far as like going to that next level. That's like when you said earlier, that's when politics started to get involved. You know, a winning season plays a big part into you going to that next level. When you like one of those guys that like are on the edge and not like, you know, top 10 or top 15 or whatever. Yeah. So that's when politics started getting involved. You know, definitely one of the things that I regret is I started to gain more weight because I didn't have a fast 40. But that was never my game. Like my senior year, I played at 233 and I can move. I can, you know, sideline to sideline was my thing. But I got up to like 240, 242 on pro day. I have never been this weight before, never ran with this weight before.
What made you do that? Messed me.
You know, agent, talk to the agent.
Bad advice.
Yeah, just bad advice.
Bad advice.
Yeah, because now, man, I mean, linebackers are 233, 235 in the league, you know.
Yep.
But, that, you know, it happened. It is what it is. You know, definitely wish it could have turned out different. But, and then, you know, for bench press, I really couldn't. I didn't bench my entire senior year until I went and started training. So I went and started training because I had tore my labrum against Maryland. I tore my shoulder against Maryland, finished the season, got surgery going into my senior year, missed spring ball, and then played the season. Yeah. So they didn't allow me to bench. And then, you know, so like I said, I'm not a shirt and shorts guy. If you want a shirt and shorts guy, you might as well go play 707. I'm a football player.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what I do.
Right. So the pro day, what were you able to do?
I mean, I did everything just because I felt like I needed to. Yeah, I feel like I needed to. But my numbers weren't the best. I don't even remember my numbers, honestly. But I mean, I still got a chance. I had with the Jaguars, didn't turn out the way I wanted to be. But after that, I was just like, you know, y'all know I got a son, so I was just like, at the end of the day, I ran my course. I thought I was going to go much further. It didn't. Put a fork in it. It's time for me to pursue, you know, his career. Like, that was my thought process. Like, even to this day, my mom's like, yo, you could have, you know, kept trying. I'm like, my friends is like, you don't want to play football no more? I'm like, man. Matter of fact, over the New Year's, my cousin, he was like, you don't play football no more? I'm like, nah, man. Like, I gave it up. It's in Brandon's hands now. And that's how I carry it. It's like,
right.
I had my opportunity. Right. Now it's time for me to, you know, step up. Because, you know, I've always had custody of my son since I was in high school. But me being away for a school was kind of like, you know. So I was like, no, it's time for me to step back up. And then that's when I went into coaching.
Right. You know, it's interesting, man. As much as we used to chop it up, you know, when you were at UVA, I did not know that you had a son while you were there until me and you chopped it up. You know, we kind of caught up again, you know, afterwards, even after you, you know, and I was just like, wait, you did what? So how was that, man, being a relatively young father in college? What year were you when you had your son?
I was in high school, man. I was 15 years old. I was 15 years old when I had my son. And then I got custody at 16 or 17.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he lived with me while I was still in high school. But, you know, it's definitely rough beginning on, starting on. But I had a great support system. Like, my mom supported me, my aunts, my grandmother. Like, one thing that my mom said was, like, I understand this is, like, this is the situation, but you're not, you're going to college, basically. Like, there's no way that you're not going to college because of the situation. Like, no. You're going to college. You're going to show him what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You're going to be that role model. Like, Brandon has been to pretty much every home game, if not every home game. He's been in and out the locker room. He knows Big Mo. He knows the players. He's still David Dean, David. Like, you know, he's been in my crib when I was at UVA. Like, he spent his spring break up there. He's been in classes with me. Like, he's that's something that he's going to have forever that I didn't have, that I don't know if you guys had. So, like, he's seen, like, what it takes to get there, the blueprint of the work that you got to put in. He was at them team 7-on-7. He was at those extra workouts during the summertime. Like, he's – it was – the hard part was that I couldn't see him as much as I wanted to. But the motivation was – for him to have more than I had.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about that too. I mean, cut you off, like, as you got in, you know, the third and fourth year, you just said he spent spring break with you. Did that thought ever come in your mind, like, yo, I got my own spot? It's a lot of resources up here on campus. Like, he could possibly be with me full time and go to school. Did that ever cross your mind at all?
I thought about it, but it was like, really is a no, because I'm the type of person, and I'm sure both of y'all know, like, I don't really like asking for help as much as I may even need it. So for me, you know, I had the resources. I know I had the people there, like Lauren Biscuit's wife. She definitely would have been like a number one supporter. Yep. I know that for sure.
100. Yeah.
But it was just like, but I don't like putting my situations on other people. So it was just like, you know, it's just something I have to sacrifice until the time is right. And that's just how that's just how I created it. So I wanted him to be there. It would have been, you know, a dope experience, a dope story to tell. And, you know, we had morning practices, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Waking up at 5 a.m. to go practice and then having to go to class at 11 is like, for that first 12 hours, even more, like, it's a big transition. You know, he had to be sleeping in the locker room, or, you know, and then it's like a big inconvenience for other people. So I was like, nah, I can't do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a better situation for both of you guys, I think. You know, but I have to just give you kudos, man. I mean, that's grown man shit at a young age, you know, and to be able to manage that, But you needed that village, though. It takes that village. Sure. And, you know, I'm thankful that you had that village, man, and that support. And you have truly given your son the blueprint. You've given him the plan. Like, look, if you want to have something, then you got to be willing to work for it. And, you know, I have this thing, you know, as you know, called chasing greatness. I mean, your greatness was him. You know, and showing him, giving him the example and giving him that blueprint, that's a part of your greatness. That's a part of the motivation for you. You know what I'm saying? And so I do have to tip my cap to you on that, for real.
And I just tip my hat to my mom, man, because without her, honestly, I probably would have never went to college for one. I would have tried to have to go to like a Hampton University or, and no disrespect to them, but like a Hampton University or you somewhere local and just play. But, you know, she was like, this is what you need.
Was your mom a single parent with you?
My mom was a single parent. My dad got locked up when I was on my birthday. He got sentenced on my birthday when I turned 5. So, you know, we moved from New York to Virginia. And he, you know, got sentenced once we finally got down here.
And my mom, part of New York,
my sister, Well, I'm from Queens. My mom's from Queens. My dad's from Brooklyn.
You from Queens?
From the Bronx. Yeah. Mm. New York. My family is through and through New York. I got family from all over.
You can hear it. You can hear it when you talk.
Mm-hmm.
I just left there, so that's probably why. I'll be sounding a little country twang when I'm up there. But yeah. When I'm down here, yeah, so.
And what's so funny is 757 has a bunch of New Yorkers there, like Norfolk. Facts. That's basically Facts. New York. Beach, that's like a it's a pipeline. Yeah. 50 Cent rapped about it, you know what I'm saying? I holla at AI but, to get gas.
My dad's actually first generation. America, so like his mom, dad, brother, and sisters, from Puerto Rico.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Do you do you and your dad have a relationship? Can you hear me?
I think something happened.
Yeah, look like it froze.
Yeah.
You going in and out, Hawk?
Oh. Okay. Oh. Can you hear me? You hear me, Day-Day?
Yeah, yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Do you and your pops got to have a relationship?
Yeah, for sure. Me and my pops, he always stayed in touch, even from when he was locked up. He would always call, you know, write. He would always write. I would always go see him until, like, he went, like, further out. So, like, he was doing federal time. So, you know, sometimes he was in, like, Petersburg or stuff like that. We'd go see him. He's upstate.
Okay.
But yeah, we always had it. We had a great relationship. New Year's, I was with him. We talk almost every day. So
good.
I see where I get a lot of my ways from when I'm with him. So it's pretty funny. Yeah.
That's good stuff, man. That's
and for the listeners who don't know what fair time mean, nah, I ain't gonna do that.
No, for real, it's just funny.
It's a difference.
Fair time, for listeners, you know what fair time mean.
Yeah, fair time is real time.
Yeah, real time. He did 10 years, so he got out. It's really funny because he got out, and the first game he ever seen me play was the Hampton Feeders game.
Yo, that's crazy!
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. So people at home, man,
Hampton Phoebus games would be like 9,000 to 10,000 folks at Darling Stadium. Yeah. Like, wow.
Yeah, facts. Standing room only. Had to get the extra stands out. Yeah, so he was bro. Like, his first experience seeing me play was that.
I know Tyrod coming back.
Yeah. I had a one-handed catch in front of Tyrod. And I flipped the ball up, looked at him. I mean, I was like, hey, I dig. I went off. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
As Hawk would say, you were spicy.
And that was my. Yeah, for sure.
They get spicy.
As a matter of fact, that was my second year. My second year in high school, my sophomore year. So, yeah, I definitely did go crazy. I think I scored the first touchdown or the second. Yeah.
You ain't scored against Hampton, dog. Stop capping. You ain't scored.
Man, if you remember correctly, I'm the reason my senior year why Hampton didn't go to the semifinals.
I don't know what you're talking about now, man. You're just telling urban legends. Hey, how we get here?
You can pull up on YouTube.
We almost made it. How we get here? I just knew you weren't going to tell that story. I was like, yeah, we doing good. We in college now. How we get back to high school? You know what? Man.
It's on YouTube for all the listeners. It's on YouTube.
Hey, I ain't do that.
Phoebus Hampton.
Cuff set me up, man. Because people don't know, Dede used to give me a heart. Every time I came to holler him in the locker room, he'd be like, hey, man, what they doing at the crib? What the team's looking like? I'm like, shut up, Dede. Ain't nobody trying to talk about
for real. For real, because I really didn't keep up. But, you know, I still remember, like, Lil Robbie in there, had Ramon. Boombox was still there. So some of the players that I just went play with, or grew up with. But, yeah. I had to check, you know. But, you know, we won't lose. We won't lose in the hand thing, you know what I'm saying? But he ain't never lose to Phoebus.
I didn't. Yeah, that's
yeah.
True,
so
man.
It was like that was like the conversation. Like, I ain't never
that was
Phoebus.
Between me and him.
I ain't never losing.
Yeah.
We even.
Yeah, we was even.
Wow. So then the transition into coaching. How did that come about?
Man, that was funny too. Man, I'd be having some funny stories now that I look back on it. Tanuta called me. Said, "What you doing?" I was actually looking for a job when I was about to be like a car session. And Tanuta calls me, I think it's like a Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm just in the kitchen, honestly. He's like, what you doing? Hey, no, he said, hey, Romo, bring your ass down here. I need a coach. I said, what? I said, get your shit and bring your ass down here. I need a coach. I said, I'm on my way.
Yeah, facts.
I'm on the way.
Say less.
Yeah. Right, right.
So that's how I got into coaching. I mean, because like his system, crazy. I honestly thoroughly understood his system.
Mm-hmm.
And for some, you know, the players that I just left, so the players that he had, like Michael Kaiser, who was super smart and knew the system. Mm-hmm. But see, Tenuta had an issue with Micah because Micah would always spot drop, but that's how Micah got a lot of his interceptions. Because he was just a smart player.
Explain our fans what spot dropping is.
So spot dropping is more so. Spot dropping is more so like you have a land point. So let's say, and I'm not gonna say cover two because he played the mic, and I mean you gotta run to three. But yeah, let's say like cover two. So in cover two, Micah would have to go 10 to 15 yards back and just sit there and basically roam the field, watch the quarterback, and see what's coming into his zone. Unless mm-hmm. it was 3-by-1 and the number three receiver went up the field, he got to run with that.
Like Ohio and State got burnt yesterday.
Yeah.
Exactly. trying to – no, that's a great point. Because I was like, yo, this ain't his fault. This is coach's fault. Why yeah, is number exactly. 32 running with Devontae Smith?
Exactly.
Why?
You the can't safety was like, trash. The trap, the yeah. safety.
And in the corner ain't helping on the backside. Nobody helped yeah, that boy. They yeah, all
nobody helped.
Get bombed.
they're game plan for Devontae. I'm like, man, I don't know. If,
but now they understand what you were saying once we said what he had to do with number three was there because they all saw what happened.
Perfect example. Devontae Smith running right down the seam, and the linebacker can't keep up with him. That's mm-hmm. cover two. But that's spot dropping. So you have a landmark 10 to 15 yards back. You sit in that spot, basically like middle field, and roam the field. Make sure nothing comes across your face. If it does, you run with it and then pass it on until, you know, you get basically within the hash marks.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I had like a, but that's what Micah did. You know, I mean, he was such a smart football player and an instinctive football player. Like he can get away with it. Mm-hmm. And everybody can't do it. You know what I mean? But Tenuta used to hate that because it's like, yo, my way, my way. but you know, that's part of the reason why he brought me on because he knew, you know, I could assist some of the younger guys in helping coaching. And like I said, I had a better understanding of what he was looking for as far as like mm-hmm. reading offenses and, you know, how I could, you know, pick film or watch film. And so it was mm-hmm. pretty good. It was definitely, he definitely helped my professional career and understanding like that side of it. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. As a graduate assistant, I shout out all of you. Honestly, you're the first one there, the last one to leave, unless the coach say you can go home. And this is sometimes Monday to Sunday. So graduate assistants, I salute you 100%.
and you did, so was 2015 your first year or 2016 was your first year in coaching? Were you a year removed or was it 2 years? 2016. Okay. And you coached
So right after the tryout and then right after the tryout with the Jaguars, it was the following, that same year, like going into the season.
Okay. So that was 2015 because that was your one season with Coach London. And then the transition to Bronco.
Yeah.
Okay. And then how was the transition?
Yeah.
Transition was, it was a different style of coaching. Honestly, it was new to me, but when he came in, he kind of had like when Bronco came. Well, first of all, I was already a GA, so Bronco wanted me to read his book to kind of understand like his philosophy running into the mm-hmm. room. He wanted me to read his book to kind of understand his philosophy and who he was as a person, kind of get an understanding of like his culture and stuff like that. So that was the first thing. And then, you know, while I was at home, Vic Soto, the defensive line coach at USC right now, he hit me up on Twitter and was like, introduce himself. I was just like, yo, all these, I ain't used to this. Like, guys is just reaching out, like, hey, I'm such and such, I'm coming to your town. I was, you know, I'm like, okay. But Broncos' initial stance was like, man, like, to probably, like, your point, Cove, like, he just felt like the players were just so beat up, like, just beat down, you know what I mean? Like, like, they just was scared to make a mistake, scared to do this. His whole thing was just changing the culture. And that's why a lot of those things that he does, or that he, no matter of fact, he still does to this day, that's why they're so relevant. Because, you know, and I'm not taking away from Coach London, because he definitely cared about his players. But Coach Brown, Coach Reed, all those guys, Tenuta as well. But they had like a real, it's hard to explain, like a real genuine passion connection with their players. Like, they really took an interest in each individual guy. It wasn't like, oh, you're Quinn Blanding, oh, you're Micah Kizer. It was like, oh, you put in work. Oh, you work your ass off. Oh, you try really, 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 really hard. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't really about who you are. It's about how hard you go. Right. And how hard you're willing to go. So it was like,
right,
if you go hard, they're going to embrace you. And you're going to get rewarded for it. If you don't, that's your fault. Like, right, I'm not going to reward you if you can't pass a conditioning test. I don't care if you're Quinn. I don't care if you're Tim. I don't care if you're Rainey. You know what I mean? Like, if you can't pass this conditioning test, your ass ain't going to play. Or you're not going to be, you're not going to play. So he just created a culture that kind of like embraced each other, embraced the guys, which made them feel, you know, wanted in a sense. And they wanted to play for this person.
And how does that work, bro? Because, you know, like, Biscuit, he didn't plan to keep Biscuit, and they happened to have like an ex interview. He was impressed by Marcus Higgins, who I'm talking about, and he kept him on the staff. You as a graduate assistant, like, did you worry about, like, how was that process? Like, did you have to talk with him first, or did he basically just tell you from the jump that he was going to keep you as a holdover versus bringing in his own GA? What's the name, son? Came, I think, right?
Coach Anah, but he was on the offensive side. Yeah.
Okay.
He was on the offensive side. It was Vic. He brought
that's Vic. Right. Vic was.
Vic. You know, he's a D-line coach at USC.
Yeah, but that's right. He was a GA though. I forgot all about that because
he was a GA.
What's the D-line coach GA that left us? The OG.
I think you're talking about Clint from when I played. I remember he was a GA.
Yeah, he was.
So, you know, Vic had a whole understanding of, he played for the man. You know what I mean? Like, all his defensive coaches played for him besides Coach Hunter. Yeah, not Hunter. I was his position coach. What's the DB coach's name? The D coordinator? Brain fart. Coach Howe. He's the only one that didn't play for
Bronco.
Coach Bronco. Yeah. Shane did. Pop did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, and then Vic played for him as a GA. Yep. I'm like, shit. I just played against y'all. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I beat y'all once, I'll see you once. Like, but they ran a new defense. So I had to learn entirely new defense, which their defense is pretty complex. And I'm one of those guys, like to learn a defense, I have to do it. Like, it takes a lot of repetition. So like watching film was difficult at first. Understanding they had new terminology, you know, I'll be breaking down film and I'll be like, hey, what do y'all call this offensive formation? Because coaches call it different things. No matter if it's 3-by-1, 2-by-2, personnel, like, each coach has their own way of calling it something different. And I was just under the Tenuta philosophy of, like, what it was called. Like, that was fresh in my mind. Like, so I had to relearn that. And then I was working with DBs. So one thing that Bronco does a lot too is with their GAs, he may flip-flop them. So if you play defense for him, you may be a GA on the offensive staff. Like he does that. If you play defense, if you play offense, you might be a GA on the defensive staff. Like with Jackson, and then you think about Kurt. Like Kurt, he's a GA, I think, offensive GA. And then Jackson and Teo, he was a defensive GA. Like they do that a lot. And I don't, I mean, I don't, I never really asked why, but yeah, man.
What if you're trying Bronco's to set special. Them up to learn, you know, everything? Yeah.
Like Bronco's a special, he's on. A special guy, man. He's a special dude, honestly.
Yeah.
He's a thinker. He's a foreseer. He makes you open up that third eye, man, for sure.
Yeah. No doubt.
How would you describe his defense? You know, you talk about like Jim Reed, Bamba Don't Break, Tenuta to attack you. What would be your breakdown of Broncos defense and
organized chaos?
Or I was gonna say the same thing. Is it more like that? That's
crazy. Yeah, it's like organized chaos. Like he's real big with numbers. So like percentages of why they do this, what down the distance they do it. I mean, and Tenuta was the same way. But organized chaos, man. Like he has it's a reason why he's calling this play on first and five or second and 13. Like it's a reason why, because this guard, when it's second down and fourth quarter and 5 minutes left, this guard gonna get tired and he may, you know, lean a little bit to the right. So we're gonna run it. Like he's very organized in what he do, but he loves like aggressive, like he loves chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's very relaxed, but he loves that. Like he gets excited when the defense is flying around or hitting hard. Or like he said, you know, if he's 1 inch off the ground, like you need to put his ass in the dirt. Like that's not dirty. That's just football to him.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? So that's why I said organized chaos, because he definitely has a reason for everything that he does.
Mm. Hmm. What were you studying as a grad assistant? And what were you striving to get your master's in?
I was higher education administration, so definitely working in the school system. I never really wanted to be a teacher, but more so administrator. Just because I always wanted to give back, and I felt like especially in our community, like a lot of black kids need that black. They need that black model in front of them. You know what I mean? It's different when you have like, you know, a white teacher or, you know, like you got to have an understanding with some kids. And I'm not saying that they don't all the time, but to see someone like myself who's been in their shoes, who's seen what they've seen, who's done what they've done, and then, you know, go to UVA, get a bachelor's. I didn't finish my master's, but I should have. and then be in that administration role, you know, and that somebody that can connect with them or they can come to when, you know, they may not got food at home or when they're going through something with their parents or the girlfriend just left them, anything. That's a lot of what we need in the area, you know, so.
Yeah, I agree with you because majority of the influencers in our lives, we were playing football in the 757 in the Peninsula District were Caucasian white men that provided that hope, you know? And they did it, you know, they did a great job of showing empathy and understanding our upbringing and ways to approach us and to communicate with us, but it's nothing like, you know, somebody that's been through the trenches and that you can truly identify with.
It hits different from the jump. Like for like even with Coach D, like, you know, it's like a builded trust, you know what I'm saying? And I love Coach D to death, man, rest his soul, but you know, it's like a builded trust. Like at first you don't really know this person, you don't know, you know, where his motives are, but as you get to see and then you talk to your peers who, you know, saying look the same as you, like, hey, nah, he a real dude. It's like, all right.
Yeah
and then you get to see it for yourself. You get to see it for yourself, you know what I mean? And then, you know, if I was in that position, it'd be like, oh, well, he has the tattoos like me. He got a haircut like me. you know, they wouldn't know me from a grain of salt, but once they had that conversation with me, you know, that would be like my engaging moment to engage with them. But I end up not finishing.
I mean, how many credits you got left? Like, what all you have to do to finish?
I mean, I think I got like 4 or 5 classes left.
Look at Cove.
Yeah, because he know I wanted to put my foot in his ass for not finishing them damn 4 or 5 classes.
Yeah, we talked about this before. that was just on my part. I mean, I guess I think I told you this too, because like my reason behind it was, you know, I was just ready. Well, I was transitioning out of coaching because I ultimately figured that it's time for me to go home and be like a full-time dad, like there 100% of the time. Like, I was still a dad, but it was like, you know, I was in Charlottesville, he was in Hampton. But it was like time for me to be a full-time dad. And I had just got a job making, you know, $55,000, which was relatively a lot for somebody with no professional background. I was like, shit, I'm taking it. And I jumped on that. I was like, forget school. I could have like finished school during the summer. Yeah, I could have finished school by like the end of the summer. I should have did it, looking back, you know. But here we are. Here we are.
Yeah, you should have, damn it.
Yeah.
Like, hey, well, Phil's listening.
You get your master's, you get a pay increase.
Like I told you, though, you can still, if you're still that close, you can still finish.
I need to finish.
I think it would benefit you, fam. You know, I told you that, and I stick by that.
The first time we talked,
I stick by that. So, I mean, I think, you know, and folks don't realize, you know, shit's hard out there, man. You know, I mean, when you have dreams and aspirations of being in the NFL and it doesn't happen, you know, you really haven't thought about what your plan would be, you know, because you thought that was it. And so for you, the blessing of coaching happened for you.
Yeah, you know, it kind of fell into my lap.
Yeah, but it gave you more time to decide, you know, to put a plan together. And then an opportunity came and you jumped at it, all right? Mm-hmm. In hindsight, you jumped at it. You wanted to go home, be a full-time dad, you know, 55 stacks. You're like, you know, I got to make this happen, all right? Yeah. But
definitely,
I think you will agree that it was short-sighted in how you saw it. You know,
I definitely didn't look at the big picture. Yeah, I didn't look at the big picture. Like, for the reason that my mom said she allowed me to go to school, I didn't finish that part of the journey. Like, to be that example. So my son seen me get the bachelor's. He went to my, you know, graduation. That's cool. So, but he sees one diploma instead of being able where he could have saw two. So that's just another part of the journey that I want to finish for not only for myself, but for him too. So he can see like, hey, you know, I remember he was in elementary school. His teachers used to be like, hey, your dad, the football player that goes to UVA. Like, you know, that he was a man in class since his dad went to UVA. So, you know, that's something that I hold near and dear to my heart. And I definitely want to finish. And I'm going to finish.
I just never too late, bro. It took me 8 years. Well, 2000, I left before I finished, and I came back in the summer 2009. So,
yeah,
I was 9 years removed, but I finished.
Get it done. So, get that piece of paper done,
bro. Yeah.
Because
now,
I mean, honestly, a bachelor's is like a high school diploma nowadays.
It really is.
It's crazy.
That
it's just
degree.
That you went to UVA, so our bachelor's weighs a little bit, like
hold
a
little
lot
more.
More but
hold
if
a little
you
bit
at
more
another
weight.
School, that bachelor's just like, oh, really? That's cute.
Yeah, he's like, all right, yeah. But what can you do? What kind of experience you got, though?
Yeah,
you just graduated. What kind of experience you got? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I think I'll take Joe Smith off the street. He got 20 years of experience.
But another component of that, though, and what a lot of former players don't realize is that 40-year decision that you made, it wasn't just 4 years, it was 40 years. What I mean by that is tapping into that alumni, you know, because I mean, I think it took me and you rapping and talking about a plan moving forward before you realized that, damn, I should have been tapping into this alumni network all along, because it's dudes, that brotherhood, when we talk about that brotherhood as a lifetime brotherhood, that shit's real, you know? And so
people that actually want to help.
Right. You know, instead of you trying to figure it out on your own, you know, I'm happy that you picked up the phone one day and just hollered at me. And then we started a politic on just life in general, you know, both personally and professionally, you know, because that's what we here for, man. We are brothers, bro. You know, and ain't nobody gonna never separate us, you know? And so I'm always concerned about how you doing, you know, life, you know, you and your son, how things progressing, you know, have you gone back? Have you done the research to find out what it's gonna take for you to finish your master's? What's the plan moving forward? You know, that's the kind of shit that I push you on.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and then it's like you'll be locked in, and then you'll check in with me every couple of weeks, and all of a sudden I'll hear from your ass in a few months. I'm like, all right, what the hell going on? Because you was consistent for a minute, and then you dropped off. I'm like, well, I guess he all right then. Because if he wasn't, his ass at least will call me.
I kind of fell back in the hole for a minute, but it was this you know, some shit didn't happen, but I kind of, you know, fell back in the hole for a minute and then kind of like, you know, worked my way myself out of it. Just from like the conversations that we had previously.
Yeah.
And, you know, just some of the things that you had, you know, taught me and told me. I just kind of used those.
Okay.
You know, just that, honestly, you really don't realize how comparable football is to life. Like you hear it all the time and you're like, yo, what? What the hell are these people talking about? Yeah, it was like, what the hell are these people talking about? But it honestly is, even in the professional world, like any athlete can be successful if they take what they learn from sports and use it in any realm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it's, I don't care what it is professionally, but like take those same early wake ups, film session. That's you studying for whatever work or for class, you know, practice. Like, we put in so much extra work to enhance ourselves in football. If we put that same work into our professional or whatever career, we'd be just as successful. You know, we didn't make it this far for no reason.
Right.
You know, we put the work in. So that's just something that I had to realize, and that's something that, you know, we talked about. And that's just what I had to do. And you know, now, you know, I'm definitely putting that work in, and I'm actually starting or trying to wake myself up back at 5:30. It's definitely tough, but I mean, you know, I'm trying to get myself back together.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's all. Hey, all good. All good.
Yeah.
You still got your book? Do you still refer back to it sometimes?
I do got my book, and I do refer back to it. But I'm actually reading another book now.
Okay.
What's it called? I forgot. I'm terrible with names.
Matter of fact, you got Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins.
No, I actually do got that right there, baby.
I Like
right
a there. Man. You got that book too?
Yes, yeah, I got it there. You said what? Okay.
Cry Like a Man.
No, I don't got that one. I got The Art of War by Sue.
Art of War.
Yeah,
that's what I'm cracking into now, man. So. Now, my mom took Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. I don't know if she read it yet, but she took it.
You got the clean version or
the No, I got the real version. The real version.
I mess around with the clean version. I don't know why I did that.
No, his dad was crazy. I think it was the skating
rink. His dad had OJ and them boys at the skating rink.
Yeah, the skating rink. Yeah,
yeah.
That was wild. It's a good book, though.
You said it's called Can't Hurt Me?
Can't Hurt Me, David Goggins.
I think he's a Marine.
I had to download that on the audio while I'm getting my walk on. I guess I'm getting my book on.
He right up your alley, cuz.
You kind of remind me of him.
He's unfiltered, man. He's going to cuss at you. Oh, man.
Follow him on the gram, too.
Follow him on Instagram and Twitter.
Like a marathon runner. He talking shit on there too.
I know the dude you're talking about.
Yeah, he was overweight, light skinned.
Yeah.
He ran them ultra marathons.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know exactly who you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
Okay.
You motherfuckers, get your ass out there.
Nah, for real. You think anybody gives a shit because your legs hurt? Get your ass up and get the run.
While he's running, look at him like, man, Hulk, don't listen to him. That's why your ass hurt now.
hey, Hulk, as you said that, I'm rubbing this sore ass hamstring now. Like, maybe I can do 7 tomorrow. Maybe I can. Hey,
nah. I ran this Friday because of my calf, bro. I finally listened to you. I took a break. My calf kept getting tight. So I said, I'm going to take 5 days off.
Yep, bro. I want to get out the bad tomorrow, but I'm like,
He'll definitely make you consider like how committed you actually are.
No doubt.
He'd be rupturing his Achilles and fucking up his knees. Mm-hmm. And his feet look crazy. He'd take like a day, a week off, maybe a month, and then he'd be back out there.
Wow.
But, yeah, he definitely gets.
Yeah, he'd be fucking himself up too. So
He lets you see it all healthy. Yeah, he lets you see it, and he lets you know when he's going through it. Like, he messed his back up, everything.
Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy.
He's a wild boy.
Well, fam, it is. This has been dope. We typically end our episode with a segment called "Shut the Hell Up, I'm Underdog," and what that is, something that pisses you off, but you like, fuck it, I'm gonna overcome it anyway. Holla at it,
man. Shut the hell up. I am underdog. For me, it's just professional career, man. It's like, I may not see where I'm headed, but so the fuck what? I'm going to get to it anyway.
Right. No doubt.
That's for sure. That's a
no doubt.
Sure.
No doubt. Well, hey, fam, like, look, you know, when it come down to it, we put the plan in place. We just put pen to paper and start talking about that. Like I said, I've told you before, I'm still working on something. 2021, things are moving in the right direction. So 2021 might be the year that we get this thing really jumping off, and you're going to be a major part of that. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Major part of that.
Right? Definitely. I wrote my goals down for 2021. I'm ready.
Okay. Good stuff. Well, fam, we sure appreciate having you on, man. Thanks for taking the time. And shoot, man, let's chop it up again soon.
Anytime, man. Appreciate y'all for having me.
All right. Well, sir. Fans, this has been another episode of The Lockdown featuring T-Cub and the Ball Hawk.
Oh!
And special guest, Daquan Romero. We are
Day-Day. Top flight of the world, Craig. Where was you at when the Capitol got rushed, Day-Day?
Hey, where I was supposed to be.